This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we talk with a matchmaker who brings selected local school kids together with the adult mentors who can change the directions of their lives. So now, let's go inside the Compass. Dana Nixon is a friendly, outgoing person with an easy laugh, eager to engage with just about everybody she meets, which is why it's probably not too surprising that I found myself chatting with her, a total stranger, for about half an hour one sunny afternoon in a chance encounter at the Mountain View Commons parking lot, where we each had arrived to go to work, I at KPTZ and she next door at the YMCA, where she works as a sort of matchmaker between young students with special needs and the adult mentors who befriend them in a program called Building Futures. As she chatted about her work, I quickly recognized the newsworthiness of her enterprise, and so it happened that I found myself knocking at the Y's office door a couple of hours before opening time one recent Wednesday. Nixon let me in and led me to a conference table where we sat down to have another talk. What's your title?
I'm the program coordinator for Building Futures.
Okay, and what is Building Futures?
Building Futures is a school-based mentoring program that's run by the YMCA of Jefferson County, and we match students who are referred to our program from schools, either a school counselor or a teacher, and we match those students with a caring adult volunteer mentor, adult meaning 16 years of age or older. And then they meet for 1 hour a week at the school to develop a friendship.
So if a person needs to be 16 to become a mentor, how young does a person have to be to qualify to get a mentor?
So our program is open to students in grades 1 through 9. They're often not referred that late in their school year or school career, but they can stay in the program until they're finished with their 9th grade year.
I suppose that it must happen that once somebody has had a mentor for several years, when the program ends, the relationship probably may not.
Sure, yeah. It's just the end of our supervision of that friendship and that coordination of the friendship. So volunteers, once they become a mentor, that we ask them to make a year-long commitment, a calendar year. And so that when I facilitate the match for starting, we sign an agreement together. And that agreement is for 1 calendar year. So at the end of that calendar year, I meet with both the student and the mentor again and survey them and see if they want to stay, keep meeting with their mentor. And then they can sign another agreement for another year or say, no, I'd rather not meet anymore. That hasn't really happened that many times, but it does happen. And anyway, that can continue every year until they're finished with 9th grade. So once that happens, I close the match and, you know, they decide how they maintain their friendship from there and we step out of the picture.
So what does it mean to be a mentor? I mean, what does a mentor actually do?
Well, the definition of mentor is really a trusted friend. So really, the main function of the mentor is to show up and to be there every week for 1 hour a week at that student's school and ask that child, what do you want to do today? And they can then decide together what it is that they want to do. They are at the school property, maybe playing a game, maybe going outside, maybe doing art, having a snack, or talking. And that's often what happens over a game is that they start learning about each other. And so then it's just having a supportive, caring adult that is there for you when or whenever they don't need them too. They know that they're there for them. So a mentor is just someone who is keeping their buddy in mind and showing up for them so that they know that someone cares about them.
So how do kids qualify to get a mentor?
So kids qualify basically by having a referral from a school counselor or the teacher. And those referrals come for a variety of reasons, mostly because there's some kind of family situation that is distracting them from their ability to really perform at school. So having someone that can help them find something that is inspiring about school, and then the other qualification is just that the parents are willing for them to participate. So we always get parent permission or guardianship permission for students to participate. And so then the other qualification is really having the teachers finding time for them to meet during the week.
So if a child wants to have a mentor, but for some reason has a parent who won't allow that, is that child just out of luck?
I don't know that out of luck is how I would want to say it, but I guess that, you know, this relationship hinges on the support of the family. So we most of the time have the school facilitate that permission process. It's our application, the YMCA application, but they help us distribute it to family members. And, you know, they are usually very aware of what's happening in a student's life. So they have been able to help us facilitate that. And in most cases, almost all my experience, the parents are more than willing to have their child participate in the program, and they see the benefit.
So how do mentors get into it? How do you find mentors? How do you qualify a mentor? What would qualify me to be a mentor?
Well, first qualification is just having a caring heart and having an hour a week to spare. So how you become a mentor really is first having that inspiration, something that people who can add something inspiring into a child's life. And a listener might be thinking, I don't have anything inspiring to add to a child's life. Well, maybe the only inspiration that a child needs from you is showing up for them once a week and asking them what they want to do. So anyone who is service-oriented and has some experience developing a safe and positive relationship with a child. But you don't have to have experience with children, but it is we need to ensure a safe and positive relationship. So we interview all volunteer mentors, and do a series of reference checks and background checks just to ensure that safety. And then we do a training. So we have a monthly training to do an orientation for new mentors. And then once they're trained, they can be matched, and then we set up that 1 hour a week for them to volunteer with that student.
So the mentors aren't really sort of given an agenda in working with a child. It's just really whatever the child wants.
Well, yeah, the relationship is where we want to have that where we want that youth development to focus. So it's not a tutoring program. It's not academic focused. It's more on helping, you know, develop a relationship. So although it's not specific in the goal as far as here you've done this week and now you've done this and so you can go and do that, it's more of, you know, just seeing how that relationship develops. So we do a baseline survey with every student and just ask them questions, certain aspects of their lives and in their home life as well as in their school life. And we can compare those kinds of things, how that how those answers have changed over time. The task, the only real task, is for them to build a friendship. And so it's different for every pair, every student and mentor. And it's based on the interests of that child. So some kids are interested in animals. And so I make matches based on that interest. Maybe that mentor has a dog, and they can bring their dog to their mentor matches and take a walk around the school grounds. Or maybe that student has an interest in building. And so they are either playing Legos, or they're creating small projects that help inspire that interest in that student, like building. We had a mentor match that built chess pieces together.
Oh, wow.
And then they would play chess together.
So how long has this program been going on?
Well, Building Futures was started, I think, in 2011. I wasn't working here at the time, but there was a Big Brothers, Big Sisters program here in Jefferson County, and that program closed. And the director for that program, Kim Hammers, approached the YMCA to see if they would adopt that program so that the matches who were meeting would be able to continue to meet. Those matches wouldn't just close. And so the YMCA did take on that project and adopted that program and morphed it into Building Futures, which is a school-based mentoring program versus a community-based mentoring program. So in 2011, some of those matches continued to meet, and then they were able to add more matches into that.
So about how many mentors do you have now, and how many kids?
Yeah, we have 29 active matches right now, and we have about a dozen students waiting for a match. We have a waiting list for these referrals that come in, but no volunteers. So you were asking before, how does one become a volunteer, really, and how do we find those? That's a constant struggle for me in recruiting volunteers. So that's part of why I'm here on your show. Thank you for having me. And why we are starting, well, we started in the fall a monthly open house structure that is in tandem with our trainings and volunteer mentor roundtables. So the third Thursday of every month, we encourage people to come and talk to us to learn more about how they can be involved or meet other mentors who have been involved. And so although we have 29 active matches and mentors right now, I think that once a mentor, always a mentor. And we've, at our peak, we had almost 40 matches. And so either those matches have closed or so there's kind of a history of this program where there's hundreds of mentors out there. And sometimes they still stay in contact with their buddies.
Do you have mentors who have gone through sequential kids? No mentor takes two kids at once?
We don't allow for more than one mentor or one mentor to meet more than one student unless they have been meeting with their buddy for more than a year. So if you have been matched with a student and you now have been with them 1 year, you can take on another student. We don't really, it's difficult to manage that because we want that one student to feel like that's their mentor.
Right. Nice. Right.
And we do offer some appreciation events, and we do an annual spring dinner and a summer party. So if there's one mentor with two buddies at one of those events, it's a little awkward. We've only had one mentor who has offered that And
offered to take a second child.
Yes, offered to take a second child. And so that happened. Then his other match closed, so he's now back to one buddy. But, you know, with the limited amount of volunteers that we have, it's very tempting to want to do that because there are other mentors who have expressed that interest and have wanted to take on more than one student. So having more volunteers would help us maintain our standards so that we can ensure a quality program for every student.
So that's the third Thursday of every month. Where and at what time?
Thank you. Yes, third Thursday of every month. And we've been rotating it because our program is countywide, East Jefferson County Schools. So most of our open houses have been here at the Mountain View Commons, where our YMCA administrative office is. And it's in the After the Bell Room, which is in the basement of the municipal pool building. So that's where the January one will be. And we have hosted them in Chimicum, and we've hosted one in Quilcene. So we try to rotate them around to encourage more volunteers countywide.
So, you know, what time was that?
Thank you. From 6 to 7 p.m.
Oh, good. So people can get there after work.
Yes.
But suppose you can't come on a Thursday. I bet that there's some way that people can actually contact you, Dana Nixon, at the Y.
Absolutely, of course. So, yes, you can always contact me either by email, Dana at Olympic Peninsula YMCA, or phone the office, which we're open 12 to 5, 385-5811. Or you can simply go to our website, which is www.olympicpeninsulaymca.org, and fill out your online application right there on our website, and then I'll get a notification that you've already made your application, and then I can contact you to fulfill the interview requirements and things. And, we also have, you can come talk to me. If you want to just meet me face to face, you can come to our office, which is at the Mountain View YMCA. And January is National Mentoring Month. So I'm happy that I'm here on your show at the beginning of January to kind of kick that off. And on January 12th, we will be at the two Starbucks locations, one here in Port Townsend at the Safeway and the QFC in Port Hadlock. We're partnering with national mentoring organizations to work with all Starbucks. The Starbucks have opened up their stores to have people tabling to encourage volunteerism. So on Saturday, January 12th, you can come find me at the Starbucks and talk about it there.
The Starbucks in Safeway.
The Starbucks in Safeway or the Starbucks at QFC. Mm-hmm.
You can't be in both places at once.
That's true. We rely on volunteer help and support, so I'll have some volunteers helping me out with that too. Well, part of our slogan is where magic happens, so maybe I can be in two places at once.
So let's talk a little bit about examples. I understand that our police chief, Michael Evans, is a mentor. Who else? Any other famous people in town doing mentoring?
Famous people in town. Let's see. Well, Kim Hammers, who ran the program, she is going to be volunteering soon as a mentor. But yes, Michael Evans, our police chief. Let's see.
Even unfamous people.
Unfamous people. There are a lot of, unsung heroes. A lot of retired teachers are missing their connection with students. And so in their retirement, they are finding mentoring as a place where they can find that connection with students. So we have some retired teachers, one from Chimicum, and we have a board member, John Pope, who is now a volunteer mentor. And let's see, who else is in our roster. We have some that are not necessarily famous. but really make a difference. So they're kind of, they're famous in the eyes of their buddy. So we have a match that has been meeting. She's, the student is in Chimicum, and her mentor is in Port Ludlow, but the match has really made a profound difference for the student. And her mom comes to our events and talks about the impact that this relationship has had on her daughter, which has really saved her life, literally.
Saved her life.
In the sense that this student was depressed and was not seeing the value of her own life. And so through the power of friendship, this student found self-esteem and found that there was reason to find joy in life and find a purpose for her life, and felt like she could go on and participate in the world. And so that is the impact.
Wow, that's marvelous. I mean, that's an outcome that people hope for with therapy.
Exactly right, and that these can be profound, impactful relationships. You know, it doesn't always happen that way, but that's definitely the goal.
When I was a teenager, actually, I was a mentor in the Big Brother program. And I used to go to my little brother's house and pick him up, and we'd go out and play ball in the field and stuff like that. But these visits all happen like in the school, right? You know, you're not sending people to people's homes.
Correct. No, these all of our matches meet at the school, and in some cases the mentor isn't able to meet during the school day. For instance, with Mike Evans and the police chief, he can't make it to the school, or it's easier for him to meet after school. And so we do offer that some matches can meet here at our YMCA location, so that we still are able to provide a safe environment, but it's not during this, you know, at school. So as long as they can meet at a YMCA site, we can offer that too if it's not workable for a mentor to get to the school. That's the part of the difference in the Big Brothers Big Sisters model and the Building Futures model is a school-based mentoring program. So we're not authorized to let the mentor give rides to students, meet them outside school property or outside of a supervised setting.
I see. So no taking your mentee for a hike or that sort of thing.
Right. No. Unless it's during our summer party. We have our picnic out at H.J. Carroll Park. And so there's, you know, trails that are on out there at the park. And so we've been leading kids on hikes through the park during our summer party. But we do offer some more. We'd like to be offering more of these kind of community-sponsored events, because that is an enriching aspect of the mentoring relationship. So we recently received a grant, the Dennis Watson grant, to offer challenge course for middle school students in our program. So I was recently trained to facilitate at the Gibbs Lake Challenge Course area. So we will be offering challenge course experiences for middle school mentor matches. So that'll be you're not going out on a hike, but you're spending the day in nature and learning how to problem solve together.
What kind of challenges are in the challenge course?
Well, it's a low challenge course, so it's not like a high ropes course, but there are different elements where the facilitator chooses which elements that group is capable of moving through. There's one that's called a wobbly log. So it's a log that's suspended between two trees.
Oh, yeah.
And the group helps that one person who wants to make it across the log, helps support them in moving themselves across the log. So that's one example. And then there's another element is a platform that is kind of like a giant teeter-totter. And the whole group has to step onto the teeter-totter without letting any of the sides touch the ground.
Keep it balanced.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's the famous the wall. So it's like a scaling a 10-foot wall and figuring out how to get your whole group up and over the wall. So significant challenges, but ones that with teamwork people can.
And these are events that the mentors and the mentees, the kids, do together.
Yeah. We have not led one of these yet. We will be doing that this spring and summer. But yes, they would be doing these together.
Okay, well, I see we're about to run out of time here. So what message do you really want people to get from this show today?
I want people to be inspired to spend 1 hour a week with a student. To the world, you might just be somebody, but to somebody, you might just be the world. And even if you don't think you have a lot to give to a student, you might not understand the impact that you'll have. For instance, there's a student who said that he hated math. But he heard his mentor say to him that the more you say you don't like math, the more you won't like it. And the more that you say that you like math, the more you'll like it. And now that student says he likes math. So just one little thing that you say to someone might help that person take a new direction in a positive way.
I just thought of another whole class of people out there who might really enjoy this, and that would be like recent empty nesters.
Yes, that's true. And we do have lots of people who travel, since we do have a lot of retirees. So if you're thinking, well, I'm not really around during the school year, I do some traveling, that's still okay. We, as long as you're not gone for months at a time, we can still accommodate for people who are traveling, and definitely people who are missing their connections either with their own kids or with others' kids. If you're a retired service worker in some way, you can still be of service.
With Building Futures Program Coordinator Dana Nixon at the offices of the Port Townsend YMCA, this is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. The Compass airs Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. and repeats the following Saturday at noon. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ Live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.